Bannon just got kicked off the National Security Council. Yeah.
That's a positive development, but he never should have been on there because the message that sends to, like, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who was removed from the NSC Principals Committee that same day, is that it says politics is at the heart of foreign policy decision-making. And I was in hundreds of hours of situation room meetings, and we never, ever talked about politics because it shouldn't matter. You should make those decisions based on the merits and not based on re-election.
That's really funny coming from Tommy Veeder, the former spokesman for Obama's NSA, National Security Council. Joining us now, the man who broke the story of Bannon getting at least taken off this principals committee, which is kind of an organizational structure for the National Security Council, and he joins us now. Bob, how are you? Bob Koster from The Washington Post. Good to talk to you.
Great to join you.
So a lot of cheering from a lot of people who didn't want Trump to win, either the Never Trumpers, they're thrilled about Bannon. Looks like he's getting elbowed. And certainly the Democrats are also very happy. They couch it by saying, well, this is because it's going to lead to there being a less of a chilling effect in the air at these important meetings. What's really going on inside the West Wing?
Well, what's going on, Laura, is General McMaster, who replaced General Flynn as National Security Advisor, is asserting himself within the West Wing. He's a quiet presence, hasn't done interviews, hasn't made any speeches, but he's more of a traditionalist voice. And as much as he's been able to work closely with Bannon, he wants to make sure that political operatives are not on the Principals Committee, which is the senior group on the National Security Council. And he also wants to bring in more cabinet officials like Secretary Mattis at the Pentagon, Secretary of State Tillerson. So it's a reorganization, and Bannon already has a lot on his plate, many portfolios, and he has agreed to be removed from that committee and the NSC.
Did your reporting indicate that he threatened to quit? And Rebecca Mercer, big donor to the GOP, also more of an economic populist, that she urged him not to?
Some of Bannon's friends tell me that he's very frustrated at times with the New York wing of the White House, meaning top economic advisor Gary Cohn, who used to be president of Goldman Sachs, Dina Powell, another Goldman Sachs executive, and even at times Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law and senior advisor. Cohn, for example, is a registered Democrat, and Bannon has had some clashes with them, to be sure, based on my reporting, on economics, on national security, on a variety of fronts. But he sees himself still as the beating heart of the president's base inside of the White House, and he's not heading toward the door.
We're talking to Bob Koster, writer for The Washington Post. Bob, the concern that a lot of the core Trump supporters have, and myself included, is that the very people who were scoffing at Trump, even ridiculing Trump during the campaign, completely dismissing his policy ideas, from the wall to getting tough on China trade, being less of an interventionist on foreign policy, those people are the ones who are growing in influence. And an administration that was elected in part, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, on a populist agenda. And yet, Democratic influences and more neoconservative influences, Bush influences, are growing. Is that? Do you think that's an unfounded concern of Trump's core constituency in those critical Rust Belt states?
It's a concern that has legitimacy, but it's a complicated question because the president has instincts that are populist and nationalist, and everyone around him who I talk to acknowledges that his instinct is in the Breitbart, Bannon, populist direction. But he doesn't have a core ideology that drives him in the same way progressivism drives Senator Warren, or nationalism really drives Bannon, or conservative movement drives Speaker Ryan. Sometimes the president, as we all know, can go in a different direction based on his gut, or even on a whim, or reacting to something in the news. So he's susceptible to influence, based on my reporting. And while he likes Bannon and his instinct is to go with Bannon. When he has Kushner and Cohn and Dina Powell and others around him within the Oval Office every hour, he is not always moving in that direction of the Republican base.
Well, I think that there's a sense that Donald Trump seeks legitimacy and to be legitimized in the eyes of a lot of these establishment people. I mean, he likes being liked, and that is in and of itself is populist. He likes to be liked, but I would just go back to the way he won this surprise states like Ohio and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan. We're seeing now a neoconservative perhaps movement toward military intervention in Syria. We could go back and play 15 sound bites from Donald Trump talking about the Syrian rebels if we want. But I mean, that's a big switch from the campaign. And now we found out that Ivanka Trump was meeting secretly with Planned Parenthood to try to do outreach to Planned Parenthood. I mean, all those evangelical Christians who turned out to vote for Donald Trump, despite his personal foibles in the past. I mean, I don't see the coalition he thinks he's going to appeal to if he goes to the Gary Cohn perspective.
It's an important point. I think when you look at the president's career, he has always run a family business, and so his family remains by his side, and that has real consequences in terms of politics and policy, because Ivanka Trump, based on all my reporting, is trying to reach out to a lot of different women in the business community and the political community who are not necessarily conservative, and that includes the leadership of Planned Parenthood, who have been attacking her, but she's made overtures to them. Because just like her father, in a way, she does not have a core ideology on social issues and on many economic and foreign policy issues. Trump's instincts, as we saw during the campaign on foreign policy, were not interventionist. He was a harsh critic of intervention in Iraq throughout much of the campaign. But again, with Trump, and Laura, you've been around him a lot, whoever is near Trump at the moment sometimes matters most to Trump. That's why so many people hang around the president's press conferences, why they're always popping into the Oval Office. And that's the vulnerability for this presidency, that as much as he knows Bannon represents his constituency, that's Bannon's not the overwhelming presence that he once was within the West Wing.
And now we have this China summit in Mar-a-Lago over the weekend. At Mar-a-Lago, and we still don't have your U.S. trade rep, Bob Lighthizer, in place. He's still not confirmed, although he will be, but still not there. Many China experts concerned that this was, again, a Jared Kushner push to get this on the agenda. In a week where he met with the Jordanian leader, of course, the Egyptian leader, Sisi, and the deal with Gorsuch vote, and all these other things happening. Is there a crowding of this schedule that makes the real strategic planning and communications more difficult?
It is difficult, and there are tensions about what exactly to do on trade. You have Cohn and his group at the National Economic Council, and they've been clashing with Peter Navarro, who's a populist economist who's close with Bannon. And ahead of these China talks, I'm told that Bannon and Navarro and Cohn and his group are not getting along, and then Lighthizer's not even there because he's not confirmed. And you got Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary, with his own ideas. And so this is going to be another real test for the president. After spending 2 years on the campaign trail talking about China and how he's going to put it to him on currency manipulation and so many other fronts, there's not a coherent vision right now on exactly what this administration wants to do on China and on trade.
There's a piece today in CNN Politics how Ivanka Trump could be the secret weapon with China, because the first family is very popular as celebrities in China. Their kids are being raised to speak both Chinese and English. They have Chinese help, like nannies. Jared and Ivanka have Chinese nannies. And that's considered a big, a big tribute to China that they would be raising their kids for dual language in Chinese. They have a lot of business in China. Obviously, Ivanka's clothes are made in China. Jared's sought financing from Chinese banks and so forth. Is there any potential, difficulty here with, I'm all for family. I think families could be your greatest advisors. But, God, if they thought Bannon was a chilling effect in a National Security Council meeting because of his views, what is it like for staffers to have Jared and Ivanka in a meeting? Wouldn't that have a bit of a chilling effect?
No one wants to go against Jared or Ivanka. Now you have Ivanka Trump inside of the West Wing. She's a federal employee, not taking a salary, but still has to go by all the federal rules. And so they're a constant presence in the Oval Office around the president. And they're interesting figures to cover because they rarely do interviews with kind of the print reporter types like myself. They do some television. Jared does almost nothing. And they really operate quietly but with some ruthlessness around the administration, having their fingerprints on all aspects of foreign policy, diplomatic relations, domestic policy. And if you're kind of a lower-level staffer, you do not want to cross them because there's a sense within the West Wing, whether right or not, that at the end of the day, Trump could purge everyone, as he has in the past in his businesses and his campaigns, but Jared and Ivanka will survive anything. And if they're always going to be there, well, you don't want to be on the wrong side of that.
Yeah, Beijing is keenly aware that Trump relies closely on a very small group of advisors that guide him on policy issues, including son-in-law Jared Kushner and daughter Ivanka Trump. And Ivanka gets glowing coverage from China's state media. Imagine if Bannon got good coverage in Russia. That would be a big issue. After her visit to the Chinese embassy in Washington, she was regarded as the most influential first daughter. And her words and deeds are also believed to carry more weight. She's known in China as the Bai Fumei, known as, and that's you translate that, Bob, into white, rich, and beautiful. That's in the Chinese state press. She could be absolutely a secret weapon, but it might end up clashing with more of the economic populace on the West Wing. I was in the Reagan administration, 1987 and in 88, and there were conflicts, but I don't recall the conflicts being this pitched, Bob, this mm-hmm. early, this pronounced, with one side hitting the other through proxies in the press. I've never seen anything like it, honestly, in all the years I've been in Washington.
It is unusual. It's kind of a feast if you're a reporter, but it's also nonstop. I think it comes down to the president himself. He likes a lot of the people around him, and he doesn't think about them as ideological mm-hmm. rivals, even though they all are. And so in a way, the president was always surrounding himself with power centers that compete. But it's just at such a different level now with the federal government, with the executive branch, that everyone feels vulnerable, that the knives are out, that everyone's talking to the press. And if you're not talking to the press, you're vulnerable. And it's created an atmosphere of tension. And what's coupled with that tension is the lack of legislative victories. There was this rush of activity on executive action early on. But now you see on Capitol Hill today and throughout the whole week, there's really been a push to revive health care because the president just wants to win. And he's talking to all these aides all the time saying, when am I going to get something on health care? Why did this all fall apart? Can you guys even get me anything that I can sign?
Yeah, and they're all heading out for 2 weeks break. I mean, the president's going to Florida with the Sunshine Summit. Congress is all smiles and heading out of town. And meanwhile, Bob Costa's there to report on it all. Bob, it's always great to talk to you. Good work on the piece yesterday, breaking that. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Laura.
All right, we'll take a break on the Laura Ingraham Show.